alcoholic.
Marco.
It's a lot of people in here. All right. So my sobriety date is June 19th of 2024. And that's not my first sobriety date, because the first sobriety date I had, I wanted to keep trying those countless vain attempts to prove that I could drink like other people, because I didn't understand what a real alcoholic was. And both of my parents are in the program, and they both have over 30 years. So I figured, I was like, well, you guys already did all that, so like, I'm in the clear, and I'll be good. Like, you guys were the alcoholics, so like, I get to party. And that's not how it works. But what I didn't understand was how important this thing is, right? And when I came in this time around, I asked my sponsor to take me through the book, because the first time I went through the steps and everything, or I thought I went through the steps, we completely skipped over the doctor's opinion. And this time I had asked my sponsor why. Like, when he would tell me we're going to do certain things, I'd be like, well, why am I going to do that? Like, why am I going to go to a meeting every day? Or why am I going to call another alcoholic and think of somebody besides me? Like, that's crazy. And the thing is that what I didn't understand is that I was the real alcoholic. And how we read that chapter 3 earlier, how it talks about the first step is we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were the real alcoholic. And for me, I thought I had done that before. But then my sponsor asked me, he's like, so what's an alcoholic? And I was like, someone who drinks a lot. People don't like them. They're probably like out on the street. Not me, for sure. Like, and so then we got into the doctor's opinion. And the coolest thing is it tells you that's actually what the doctor's opinion is. It's a description of what the alcoholic is. And so right here it says men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. And dude, I loved the effect. I hated the taste. I didn't like the taste of whiskey or vodka or any of it, but I would down bottles of it, right? And the other thing that I didn't understand was this allergy that it talks about. I didn't understand that what the allergy meant, because I was like, well, if I can drink and drink and drink and drink, like, I must not be allergic to alcohol. Like, I must be fine. I feel great when I'm on it. Like, when I'm not drinking is the problem. Like, and right here where it's that allergy, all it means is that it's an abnormal reaction. That's the way it was described to me. And so it doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to break out in hives. Like, I might break out in handcuffs and get sent to the psych ward, but that's another story. So right here where this abnormal reaction that it talks about is the phenomenon of craving. And the phenomenon of craving happens when I put that alcohol into me. And it says these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And the first time that I came in, I was mainly smoking weed and popping pills and doing acid. And I wasn't drinking that much because, like I said, both of my parents were in the program. So I figured, like, okay, well, like, alcohol bad, everything else good. And so that was my logic, dude. Like, because I was looking for that sense of ease and comfort. So I came in and I didn't really think I was an alcoholic. So I went out and tried drinking. And long story short, I'm here again. So the thing is what I finally realized is these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, is anything that affects me from the neck up, anything that gives me that sense of ease and comfort, because like it says here, they are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. Dude, I did that so many times. It says right here, this is repeated over and over, because that's where it's talking about this insanity. And for me, that insanity looked like ODing and waking up in the hospital with all these IVs in me. And this story is still hearsay. My parents said this happened, but I don't really remember it. But apparently I ripped the things out of my arms, booked it out of the hospital, and went home to go get high again. And then they, like, found me on the couch at home, like, 4 hours later. They thought I, like, ran off somewhere else. They didn't check at home. And I went straight home. Like, they had just brought me back to life. I just died. They brought me back to life. I went home, and the first thing I did was grab some Xanax and a wax pen and started trying to find alcohol, but there's no alcohol in my mom's house. So the thing is that's that insanity right there. And it says, unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of his recovery. And that entire psychic change is the craziest thing. And down here it says, one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. And I didn't understand what that meant in the beginning. I thought that, like, psychic change meant, like, that all of a sudden I was going to be, like, all godly and spiritual, and everything was going to be, like, sunshine and rainbows, and I wasn't going to, like, be restless, irritable, and discontent. And it turns out that that's actually what it talks about later in the book, like in 10, 11, 12, where you have to do this stuff daily, because we have this thing called a daily reprieve. Okay, and what I didn't understand is that this psychic change happens every day. This is something I have to work for this every single day. I have to pick up that phone, like, because I used to call my, this is my sponsor, you're about to hear from him, but he's probably better than me, but I used to call him at like 2 a.m. with like these crazy like freakouts, because I was just restless, irritable, discontent. I didn't know what to do. And I'm freaking out. And I'm trying to run the show. And I'm doing all this stuff. And then he puts me right in the book and shows me where the answers are. And now the funny part is I have some of these guys that are calling me in the middle of the night. And with the same crap. And they're telling me, like, one of the guys, it was actually really funny because God has a sense of humor. He asked me the same question that I asked my sponsor. He asked me why right after we just went through the doctor's opinion, and so he wasn't paying attention. And and so I sit there and I'm like, okay, we gotta go back. And then he's like, nah, like, I got this. We're good. Like, don't you know, man? Like, I'm too busy for this. I got a lot of stuff to manage. I'm like, dude, that was the whole point of step one. Like, the life is unmanaged. We're not managing life anymore, dude. And so that's the coolest part about this whole thing is that now I went from like waking up in the hospital, ripping needles and crap out of my arm, and then going and doing it all over again, to now I get to help these other guys that were in the same place as me. And one of the coolest things I think that I've experienced in this whole past year is seeing guys that were like in the same position that I was, and then being able to like look them in the eye and be like, yo, dude, like, I know the way out of this. Like, and I don't think we read chapter 5 in the beginning, so I'm going to read this part real quick, because this part makes sense, and I'll wrap it up. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And for me, that part right there was, I had to understand that, like, oh, I don't have to, like, dig a tunnel or do any of this. All I have to do is follow the path that's already there, that these people in here with time already are on it, and it's so much easier. So I'm out of time, but my name is Marco, and I'm an alcoholic. I hope somebody got something out of that.